What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
Friday morning in New York City, what is up? It is the Boomer and Geo program on the Fan and CBS Sports Network. The number to call, 888-808-1019. We have got a lot to do. The guys are off. Myself, Willie Colon with you until 10 o'clock. Sure, we'll get to the Mets and losing to the Marlins and playing lousy in the meantime and doing it. Yeah, we'll get to another win for the Yankees. At some point later on, we will discuss the baseball. But, you know, I was on the air with Greg Giannotti in Arizona when the Nets traded Kyrie Irving. Mm. Boomer was sick as he was vomiting all morning and all night. Ooh. And that was an interesting morning. And as I was laying down last night, the news came out. Now, yesterday, Willie.
Good morning, sir. How are you?
Good morning, sir.
I did say where there's smoke, there's fire, as we
you
were discussing
Jerry,
the Micah Parsons
situation.
You ain't
lying. You're the first person I thought about. I was like, Jerry wasn't lying.
Now, I never thought that this was going to happen. I ultimately thought that as the Cowboys have in the past, they would get to the final hour and they would pay Micah Parsons not $188 million over 4 years, but I did think that he would get his contract ultimately. I thought there was a chance he might sit out next Thursday, mm-hmm. maybe then sign. You can go back with Emmitt Smith. You can talk about Dak Prescott signing on, I think it was the day or the day before the opener last year. You can talk about CeeDee Lamb getting his money, all these guys getting their money. Well, in Micah's case, that did not happen. And I'm going to tell you right now, I have been a lifelong Cowboy fan. I have worked for Compass Media Networks for, this will be my 15th or 16th year, I don't even know, where I have worked almost every Cowboy game for that period, whether as the pregame, postgame host, or even I've had the privilege to call, I think, 9 games over the last 4 years as well. This is not going to be the usual take. I'm not annoyed at this, and I'm going to lay out my reasons why, and I think we're in agreement. Would I have loved Micah Parsons to stay in Dallas for his entire career? Absolutely. Why wouldn't you? But when you attach the money and the salary cap to it, and a couple of things I'd like to run, if you will allow
me,
I'd like to run a couple of things through you. I know he's 26 and hopefully getting better, but this is what I know from what I've seen, and these are the days that I have said, what the hell,
okay.
All right? I'm going to give you 2021, a very young Micah Parsons, but making a big name for himself. They play the Niners in the playoffs. 0 sacks, 1 tackle for a loss, 0 quarterback pressures. 2022, they beat a bad Bucks team, whatever. Then they play in San Francisco. He played every defensive snap. Lost that game.
I remember that. Yep.
He had 0 sacks, 0 tackles for a loss, 1 quarterback pressure. 2023, they were a damn good football team. They lose to the Packers and lose big. 0 sacks, 0 tackles for a loss, 1 quarterback pressure, and Green Bay rolled up 415 yards of offense and led 27-0 in the second quarter. 2024, it comes back after injury, was supposed to be the savior. You know, Dak Prescott was injured, but he's going to lead them out. His first game, he played about half the snaps. All right, they get beaten by the Eagles, fine. The next week, a home game against the Texans. He played 96% of the snaps. They lost 34-10. He had one tackle, zero sacks, zero quarterback pressures. I'm not saying he's not a great player. We know he's a great player. And I know in Dallas they're losing their minds over this, and I don't blame them. I get it. But if you're going to pay somebody $47 million a year, quarterback money, in big spots, you got to come up big, and he has not done that.
Yeah, I think we're in agreement to some degree. I've watched Michael Parsons for a good part of his career, just mostly like you. I think that if you're a Cowboys fan like yourself or most people out there, you're just frustrated. I think if you should be frustrated with the return. Like Kenny Clark, who they received in the two first rounders, Kenny Clark's best days are behind him. Right, he's a 30-year-old guy who, in his prime, he was a bad man. Right now, if you're Jerry Jones and you're saying you needed to stop the run, I don't know if that's the guy to kind of fill that void. Nevertheless, Michael Parsons, man, I thought Jerry handled this bad because a lot of what he wanted should have been handled a year ago.
For me, I agree.
I think that a lot of what, as far as being cheaper, this should have happened a year ago.
Yeah. Well, people said, too, as this went on, it was becoming more and more expensive.
And it was.
Yeah.
And so but I also go back to, man, when Dan Quinn was coordinator, and I remember that San Francisco game when they got beat up bad.
Yeah.
It was very, very, very bad. And I remember part of watching that game was they were double-teaming Mike and it neutralized him. And they were going right at him. And that's one way to neutralize a pass rusher is just double-team him. And you see him at times get caught up in the wash in the run game. Like, I remember at one point, Dan Quinn tried to put him at middle linebacker to see if he could be more effective. And he couldn't get busy. So, I don't know. I'm not crazy about the trade. To your point, if you're a Cowboys fan, he's an elite pass rusher, top three easily.
Sure.
But I also watch T.J. Watt and Myles Garrett, who I think are ahead of him. And they get triple team, they get double team, and they're still effective. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I think the world is like, what's going on right now? But if you're Jerry, he never does things like the traditional way. He does it Jerry's way, and so it's tough, man. I don't know about it. I think Green Bay, there's no excuses for them now.
That's the biggest thing for me is if you want to say there's one thing that really bothers me about this, it's where they sent him.
Yeah.
That's the I don't why we and then he's coming back week four in prime time. Yep. Again, the NFL's like the NBA, it's like a soap opera. Of course they're coming back week four.
Yep.
Where they're going to see him and he's going to be fired up and he'll probably have seven sacks in that game and the Packers might win the Super Bowl. Why? It's the one thing with these guys, and I know you're one of them as a former player.
Sure.
I hate when they get what they want though because and here's why. You put your pen to paper, you signed a contract. You had a year left on your contract, and I want to be paid more. $25 million wasn't enough. Fine, fair enough. You want to do that. They didn't find him all summer.
They didn't.
Or all training camp. I think they thought they were going to figure this out at some point. It became very apparent that they weren't. So they let him sit there with the cockamamie injury, not partake.
Back tightness.
Sure, of course. Not practice. And I do believe that they feel like they had a deal done in March. Where the disconnect was with the agent, I have no idea. Neither one of us was in the room. We don't know what the problem was there. But you couldn't have sent him to Jacksonville? Send him somewhere other than in the conference to a good team. That's my biggest hang up with this.
And I'm with you because this is what frustrates you about Jerry. I remember after they got beat up by the Packers in that first round of the playoffs, I think 2023.
Yeah, Green Bay beat up. They were losing 27-0 in the second quarter.
It was nuts. And I remember Jerry at the end of that game looking like broken.
Because they were defenseless.
Right. And so for me to sit here and like, I'm scratching my head like, Jerry, I remember that press conference. I remember you couldn't barely talk. You were so beat.
Yeah.
You was flush red with anger because you thought this Cowboys team was going to the Super Bowl that year.
They were good.
And Green Bay and Jordan Love and company absolutely stomped all over you. And so how do you not trade him to the Detroit Lions, who needs a pass rusher, and Aiden Hutchinson's coming off of ACL? How do you not trade him to the Rams? How do you not even trade him to anywhere else but the Packers? Why? Because you're going to see the Packers, either in a wild card position, or if you guys both win your division, you're going to see them in the division round. So I don't know, man. It's just tough to... If you're a Cowboys fan, you got to be scratching your head at this one.
A little bit. But again, to me, the reason why it doesn't burn me as much is the money. It's the salary cap. This era we're playing in, you've got, you know, Dak Prescott, which to me is nuts, too.
Well, I think part of the money is because he's 26 years old.
I get that.
52, I mean, he's,
but you can't pay. So if that's the case.
But he hasn't had any significant injury to, like, hamper him. Like, I just talked about Aiden Hutchinson coming off of ACL. The worst Mike has had is a high ankle sprain.
For sure. But if you're going to pay Dak Prescott $60 million, You're going to give a defensive guy $47 million. C.D. Lamb's making a lot of money. And by the way, the salary cap is such nonsense.
Yeah.
It is garbage. When you think, what are we doing? The salary cap is $280 million for 53 guys. Am I right?
Yeah.
That's 53 guys got to split 200. Meantime, I look at the Packers. Jordan Love's making $220 million, 55 a season, but 55 doesn't really count against the cap because we're going to spread it out over the next 100 years, which is stupid. You got Rashawn Gary's making $100 million. Yep. That's 25 a year, unless I check. But they'll spread that away, and his cap will be like 11. It's so fake and phony. It's just like a numbers game. But it's very prohibitive if you're going to pay, in my opinion, to pay someone quarterback money that has, while he has been a great player, I'm not downplaying what
he was. I don't think anybody is. I think some people are split on it because if you watch the game, is he effective in a rush?
No.
No.
He's just not. In the big games, you know, we kill Aaron Judge for being a postseason zero. Mm-hmm. Is that not a talking point all the time here? Well, I'll give you his equivalent for the Cowboys. He's done nothing in the playoff. Nothing. Nothing.
I think for some people, too, I think as much as they are heartbroken about this, they need to turn on the tape like we've watched the tape and go back and watch Micah Parsons' production. Like, yes, against bad teams, he's a juggernaut. Against really good teams like the Niners and Detroit Lions or whoever else who have big-time offensive lines, it's hard to find them on tape at times. And so, yeah, is it the greatest excuse why Jerry sent them off?
No, I'm not saying that, no.
But it's a valid one. If you're in the process of negotiating a contract and you want this guy to be a Cowboy for life.
And there's definitely things I don't like. I don't like that he went to the Packers. I don't like that him and Steven are up there talking about we need to stop the run. All true, but let's not make that the reason. He's not there because it's, to me, too much money for a non-quarterback, and he hasn't been impactful enough in the big games. Now, only 26, so those days could still be ahead of him.
Right.
He might turn out to be the greatest postseason player in the history of NFL going forward with Green Bay, but he hasn't been.
I think what scares Cowboys fans is that Jerry probably sent him off for a petty reason, that there's maybe something behind the curtain that we just don't know, that Jerry's ego got in the way.
Perhaps. I mean,
I think if you're a Cowboys fan and you're trying to save face or you're trying to say, all right, how can we salvage this team and get to where we want to get to, it feels, and this is just me talking, that Jerry may have done this for a personal reason.
It could be. I mean, when you
and
think
about...
It's
not out of his real house that this is possible.
No, and I mean, he even admitted to that in the documentary, that there are times he does things he probably shouldn't do. The question I would have is, if you go back to the negotiation that he thought he had a deal in March...
Yeah. Jerry talked about that.
What were those terms? I would love to know what those terms were, because he said that at the time he offered Michael Parsons the most money for a non-quarterback.
Mm.
Is that true? If that is true, then why wasn't the deal done? Because they didn't want to talk to the agent. I don't like it. It's that part of it. There's a disconnect there that I would love the details to come out on.
And I wonder, part of it is, was he waiting on T.J. Watt to see what he was going to get? Was he waiting on other players?
Meaning Micah, and he wouldn't sign the deal until that happened.
100%. So I wonder if there was some chess play with that. But overall, you know, Cowboys fans are pissed off. I was watching social media, and everybody's burning flags, throwing stuff, throwing their cowboy nail all over the place. It's crazy.
I do understand that side of it. You know, when you fall in love with a player, no one falls in love with players more than I did as a kid, heartbroken when they leave. So I understand that. But I'm also trying to look at this from the other side of things. In a salary cap era that we're playing in a game that is more offensive than it's ever been, you need to outscore teams. If you're going to give up, I'm sorry, what was the Packer game again? If you give 48 points at home in a playoff game, you're not winning that game.
No.
You need to be the team that puts up 48 points to win. There's a lot more to it to me than just the guy's an old drunk, doesn't know what he's doing.
Sure.
And Micah Parsons should have gotten paid $200 million.
Tell you who I feel bad for, that defense.
It's going to be tough. Yeah.
I mean, this happened. I mean, we're a week away.
Well, but I also don't know that they were planning on having him next week anyway. But
no,
you're right.
But there's an expectation. I mean, Trayvon Diggs, Monday, when asked about the deal, he flat out, he's like, man, this is nonsense. They're going to sign him. I'm not worried about
it. Because they always have. That's part of it.
That's part of it. Yep. But two, if you're a teammate and we're having conversations at lunch and you're telling me what's going on with you and you say, hey, dog, we're good. We just got to figure it out. You know what I mean? Mm. I'm anticipating you're going to be where you need to be, sure, when it's time to go to work.
I think everybody thought that.
Right, and so we're talking about we're a week away from this. That's like, that's the equivalent of us, as I'm talking Steeler ball for a quick second, us losing James Harrison.
Mm-hmm.
Like, as a, that's your guy. That's your battle horse.
Sure. You know,
that's the guy who makes the impossible possible in crucial situations. So if you're Bland, if you're Overshown, if you're all those guys, you just lost your top dog. And think about what Brian Schottenheimer did when he got the nod to be the head coach. He felt like the team wasn't close enough from a chemistry standpoint. Like, they weren't gelling enough. So what did he do? He took Michael Parsons' locker, and he took that Prescott locker. He smashed them together. He said, you guys are our leaders right now.
Yep.
Lead us. You just lost one of your leaders before the
big
start
time
of the season.
Yep.
So you're talking about an emotional leader. You talk about your guy who, from a production standpoint, a guy who you need to make plays. You just lost him a week before the start of the season. So I'm sitting back. If I'm Mazi Smith and all these guys, I'm like, dog, like, who's leading us? Who's the guy standing up saying, let's go get the, who's that guy right now? I don't know if the Cowboys have it.
No, it's going to have to be defense by committee. And
right,
it hasn't been. But this will go back to my point that I said to you yesterday, and I think the day before that. They haven't been good enough with Micah.
I agree with you.
So
that's why I'm not when it broke, it felt like, wow, this is big. But I remember watching a lot of games where he was out there. And he wasn't dominating the game to the point where
it wasn't
like,
impactful.
Man, yeah, so I don't cringe at it, but I do say, like, the kid is 26 years old, going to Green Bay. And he's going to be playing with a defense that can really play. You know what I mean? With Rashawn Gary,
oh, yeah,
McKinney, Jeff Hafley has done a great job. Like, this defense was fifth in the league last year. So, like, that's the missing
piece.
And now
piece. You add him.
Now, you know, that's that one stone in the Thanos glove, if you will. So, we'll see, man. I think Cowboys, I have empathy for Cowboy fans because they're just like, we just can't get right.
Nothing well, works. They haven't gotten right in 30 years.
Yeah.
So, it's not like this is anything new in terms of going into a season. I mean, they've had good. It's weird. They're like not as good, so don't misunderstand me. But when you look at them every year, for the most part, they're 500 or better. They've had some bad years for sure.
Yeah.
Last year was one of them. But, I mean, over the last 30 years, they've had a lot of good seasons. They just don't win playoff games. And that is very true of recent memory over the last 5-6 years, too. And he's been a big part of that.
I think there's an expectation for Dak Prescott to carry this team.
Well, Jerry, he called him out yesterday.
And I'm saying to myself, You're putting the weight of Cowboy Nation on this quarterback's shoulder who's coming off a hamstring. He's 32 years old.
And he put his money where his mouth is because most of the money has gone to the quarterback and the wide receiver.
Right.
And so
But this is what Cowboy fans have to realize. This isn't a Joe Burrow, Jamar Chase, and T. Higgins situation. Like, Joe is, I think they're more primed to carry that. They proved it. I mean, they scored with 30-something points a game last season, even though they still lost.
Yeah, but they still didn't even make the playoffs.
Right. But Dak isn't Joe. I think Dak's best years are behind him at this point.
Well, we better hope not, because he's got a lot of time left and a lot of money coming to him.
I
know.
Yeah.
Trust me, I know. It's not easy. It's not easy. I get it. But that's, you know, you got the two first-round draft picks. Oh, I mean, I won't poo-poo first-round draft picks, no doubt. But those aren't going to be high first-round picks. They're going to be picks in the late 20s.
Do you believe they're going to draft or get a guy who's
going to
have a significant impact right away?
Or do you think they're going to, with the four first-round picks in the next 2 years, like they like to point out last night, do you believe that they will package them for X? I don't know.
But think about the pick they're getting. It's going to be, what, the
32nd? That's what I said. Well, if they win the Super Bowl, yeah.
Yeah, the 26th.
High 20s, low 30s,
yeah,
probably.
You're not getting
that's
a
what
guy.
I said.
So
I know.
It's like, what do we...
I totally understand. Again, I always come back to, it's not just Parsons for Clark and two picks. It's Parsons for Clark, two picks, and you just saved $50 million a year on the cap, or however they manipulate the money, but you're not paying him $200 million, which, I sit here and talk about the quarterbacks getting a fortune, and I don't think it's right. I don't think that the quarterback should get 22% of the salary cap, or whatever number it is, 15%. Because if you ain't got a left tackle, or
you don't have a defense,
you can't win.
Like, people love, like, one thing I thought Brady did really good was convert his bonus into what he converted his salary money into bonuses or whatever. Or he pretty much, in layman's terms, he pushed his money down the road so he could pretty much build up the defense. They were able to get Dante Hightower, Chandler Jones. Like, they were able to pay those guys. And because of that, they were able to stack Lombardis. That's the end game. You're always trying to win a Super Bowl. And Brady, the best of all time, realized that. He goes, yeah, you can pay me a boatload of money. In his prime, he wasn't the highest paid quarterback.
Right.
So all he did was go to Kraft and say, hey, I'm going to be okay. but we got to build this defense. Can I go to Pittsburgh in December and win? Yes, but I can't do it without a defense. Can I go to Kansas City? Can I go to these places and win? You can't do that without a defense. And so all that money, I understand that. But if the end game is winning, as a quarterback who's in that position to make a lot of money, you got to be smart. Yeah, you can score 30 points, but if you can't stop anybody, it's worthless.
Yep, I know. And if you can't protect the quarterback, it's worthless. You know, Joe Burrow almost got killed last year.
Yeah.
And I know.
And but I give Cincy credit. They've always been trying to figure out that five up front.
Sure.
It just hasn't gone
just right. Like the Giants have for the last 10 years. There's no doubt.
I don't know what they're doing on defense, but I have seen an attempt to get. I mean, they got Orlando Brown. It just hasn't worked out for him. He's just stiff. He can't move. But overall, man, I feel for Cowboy fans. It's never.
Interesting day.
It's never easy for you guys.
Very interesting day for sure.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's built around your body. The Natural Cycles app pinpoints your fertile days by tracking shifts in your temperature, so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. It's easy to use. Simply take your temperature in the morning with our free Bluetooth thermometer included with our annual plan, or sync with your Oura Ring or Apple Watch. The app analyzes your data and tells you daily whether it's a fertile or non-fertile day. Natural Cycles is 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. But beyond effective birth control, the app helps you understand your body and cycle better than ever. And unlike some period tracking apps, Natural Cycles provides an advanced data protection program to keep your information private and secure. Ready to go hormone-free? Sign up for the Natural Cycles annual plan and get a free Bluetooth thermometer. Plus 15% off your subscription with the code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com.
The Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, the guys are out. They will be back on Tuesday as their summer is rapidly ending. It is the Built Ford Tough Studio. Willie and Jerry in for the guys. Final summer Friday. Next week will be a football Friday. I am with 100% certainty that CeeLo is going to start with the Cowboys and the trade. And so NFL Talk on the Fan, which will continue right now, is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. And with that, you start with the NFL.
So CeeLo. Yankees, White Sox. No, I'm just kidding. Yes, we will start with Mike Madness.
Gross,
I know. Yes, we're actually going to do that first when we get to the baseball. Yeah. But Mike Micah Madness, or if you listen to Jerry Jones again yesterday, Michael Madness. Is he in the Cowboys stunningly ship Parsons to the Packers for Kenny Clark, a couple of first-round picks. Parsons gets himself pizzayed, as Boomer would say.
Yeah.
4 years, $188 million, $120 million fully guaranteed at signing, highest-paid non-quarterback in league history. Jerry, Steven, and company held a 46-minute press conference after the deal went down, and this continued to be a theme.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah.
About, I'm sorry, I didn't get.
Oh boy. And then again here.
The other thing that I would like to say is I firmly did, made a commitment to Michael this spring, Micah, and paid him. And to pay him.
Well, he was going to pay him.
I want to know what the offer was. I really wish that would come out.
Well, maybe it will at some point.
Maybe.
Next time
I don't
they
know.
Do a documentary.
I don't know either. What I would say, though, is silence can be deafening because he has said this 7, 8, 9 times.
Right.
No one on Micah's side has ever refuted that he gave him the largest contract for a non-quarterback.
Good point.
No one has said otherwise.
So then, if in fact that's what happened, what was the holdup on Parsons'
side? I think
Parsons
what Willie
side?
Said might have a lot of validity to it. Knowing that there were a couple of other guys that were going to get deals, he wanted to wait so he got more. I think that's possible.
But we don't think that in the end he got more based on this deal?
No, I think he did now.
Oh, okay.
I think he did. So
Jerry's saying at the time he offered.
At the time. He was going to make...
He's not saying, I offered more than he got.
No. At the time, before these other guys got their money, he offered Micah Parsons the largest contract for a non-quarterback.
Okay, gotcha.
And no one has refuted it.
Right. Now, along the way, Jerry, and when I say Jerry, I mean Jones, not Rico, said how Parsons made great contributions to the Cowboys in 4 years there, but perhaps the best is yet to come, just like a previous bombshell trade they made back in the day.
And a little bit of the way Herschel Walker may have had his greatest contribution to the Cowboys, what he brought to us when he left could be a tremendous thing for our fans and the success of
this team.
If you
find Emmitt Smith.
Yes. And, of course, the difference there was with the whole, when all the players they got back, if they released them, they got the picks.
They got more for what they traded for.
Exactly.
Which more, I did not remember or realize until the documentary.
I did not know that.
Yeah,
that
was, it was very... Did you see that at all?
I haven't.
So when they made the Herschel Walker
trade... It was
like
five players, right?
Yeah. As long as they weren't cut...
Mm-hmm.
The trade was what it was. But if the Cowboys release these players within, what, like a week or 10? I forget what
the end
time,
of the season.
Whatever. Yeah. They got more picks from the Vikings. And so the Cowboys were like, yeah, we'll cut them. And the Vikings were stunned.
They didn't think that they would go through with it. And Jerry called the bluff essentially. And they got all those picks, one of which they used on Emmitt. So, yeah, worked out pretty nice.
Pretty wild, actually. Yeah. So this is not anybody that's calling this the Herschel Walker trade. That's not what this is. You know, there was one yesterday. So I was watching this live last night. He talked. I don't know if you've gone through this or you're just
getting the
clips. He...
46 minutes.
The first question, his answer had to have been...
An hour?
7 minutes.
The one question.
The one answer. He just kept talking and talking. And at one point, I'm like, Stephen, are you there? Like,
right.
Say something. Yeah, he does talk a lot.
When Stephen speaks,
to your point, this also isn't... I know somebody... I was listening to somebody coming in. This also isn't close to the Reggie White trade. Meaning...
I've heard a lot of people say that,
you know, this isn't... Reggie got to the Packers when he's 31 years old. Like, Mike is 26, and like I mentioned, doesn't have a significant injury that's ever hindered him from, like, lack of production. Like, he had 12 sacks last year. No matter how he got him, he got him. It goes in his stat sheet.
Parsons releasing a statement on social media Thursday, in part saying, I never wanted this chapter to end, but not everything was in my control. My heart has always been here, and it still is through it all. I never made any demands. I never asked for anything more than fairness. I only ask that the person I trust to negotiate my contract be part of the process. So that, again, is part of the hang-up with the agent and his conversation with Jerry Jones back in March. So as Jerry outlined already, you'll have Parsons going right back to Dallas with the Packers in Week 4. That'll be a Sunday night game.
So let me ask you a question. Why the highest-paid quarterback is Dak, I would imagine, at $60 million a year? Right? Anybody?
Is it now? I feel like every week there's a new contract.
Is it Burrow?
I think it's
Joe Burrow.
Okay, so why has Patrick Mahomes not gone and to the Chiefs and said, I want more money?
You know why?
I'm sure because
he wants to win Super Bowls. He understands he needs an offensive line and a defense. When they pay, he understood he was one of the guys behind the curtain that said, pay Chris Jones. Why? Because he knows what Chris Jones means to that team in the fourth quarter. You put him on one-on-ones, Chris Jones is unstoppable. He understands football. So that's
and what does he do? He wins a lot.
Boom.
Dak still has the highest average annual value at 60. Okay. But it's, you know, there's different ways.
I know it's so convoluted. I know.
Josh Allen's got the highest guarantee. Mahomes has the biggest total. It's, you know, it's nonsense, silly stuff. Like you said, the salary cap is essentially irrelevant. Jerry Jones, of course, talking about how Kenny Clark's going to help them stop the run as part of the reason that they made this trade. I know that that kind of rang a little hollow.
He is a good player.
Of course. Three-time Pro Bowler. He'll be 30 in about a month.
Yeah.
I'm glad you said that, Jerry. I think there's people like Kenny Clark's a big-time player. Like, he's just, but he's not to the magnitude of Michael Parsons.
Right.
So we just got to breathe. I think some people are like, Kenny Clark? Like, no, he's still a big player.
He's good, yeah. But it's not Michael Parsons, obviously. Right. A different position. Now, tough scene for Michael Irvin yesterday, and we'll bring you that audio coming up next hour as part of covering this story all morning long.
What was interesting about that real quick, though, is, I don't know, you'll bring the audio. He had Jerry on the other day last week to talk about the documentary.
He'd be tapped in on what's going on.
Well, and I think he was, and I actually think at the time of the interview, which comes back to your point, that something must have really snapped in the last...
I just don't feel like this... something triggered Jerry's ego.
See, I'm going to come back to, I think it was the Friday night preseason game with the nachos and lying on the table, almost making a mockery of the whole thing, and then telling the fan, have the Falcons call me, all that stuff. That could have been it.
In Jerry's eyes, it's an honor to be a Cowboy.
Yes, and if you go back to that conversation he had with Michael Irvin, he was talking about, you know, essentially he pays his guys. You know, we've always done things this way. And Irvin's answers were always, yeah, right. Like, he never argued or disagreed with them. So I think Michael Irvin, like everybody else, thought that this would get done.
Well, he thought it yesterday afternoon. Did you see his appearance on NFL Live?
I did not.
Okay, well, that's when I say I'm going to bring you that audio. He doubled down yesterday.
Because he was certainly stunned last night.
Yes, he was. So
will be better days.
Yeah, well, we'll see. We'll play both sides of that with Irvin coming up next hour. Let's get to the baseball locals now. And the Mets following up that sweep of the Phillies with a very sloppy night against the Marlins at Citi Field.
Now it's 2-2. Pitch to Ramirez. Line towards short, past the lunging attempt by Lindor in the left. Nimmo kicks the ball around. Marcy coming around, the cutoff throw to the plate, not in time. And the Marlins once again take the lead.
Keith Rad, Odyssey Mets Radio, part of a 3-run seventh for Miami, thanks to errors by both Nimmo and Alonso. You also had a Jeff McNeil throw home on a ground ball, not getting it out as the Marlins went back on
two,
top.
Really?
Yeah, right.
Hey, too.
Yes, that is true. Marlins went back on top after Alonso had tied the game in the fifth with a 2-run homer, and Miami goes on to beat the Mets 7-4 in the first of four. Certainly a frustrating night for Carlos Mendoza's team.
We didn't execute. We didn't play a clean game, you know, and they made us pay for it. You know, we didn't do the little things fundamentally. Some routine plays there gave them extra outs, extra bases, and... you know, cost was a game.
Clay Holmes, 5 innings, a 4-run ball, 2 of them earned. You had the home run for Alonso, Francisco Lindor with 3 hits, but a night to forget, all while the Phillies got off the mat and absolutely pummeled the Braves down at Citizens Bank Park.
1-2.
Oh, that one's drilled deep to right field. He has done it! 4 home runs in a game! A 3-run home run!
Tom McCarthy, NBC Sports. Amazing. Philly, huge night for Kyle Schwarber. 49, I believe. Dude. And that last one was a missile. I mean, this ball. Watch it just bank off. That's not the last one. The last one hit off one of the signage there, like before the second deck. Mm. I know the first one was 450 feet. Harper hit a 440-foot homer. And they had 4 home runs that traveled north of 400 feet as they just demolished the Braves 19-4. The 21st four-homer game in big league history. This is the last one.
That's the fourth
one. This ball off the...
That is a line drive. God.
Oh, man. He drove in 9 as Philly restored a 5-game lead over the Mets atop the division. Now, looking ahead to tonight, we get ready for Jonah Tong's big league debut opposed by Yuri Perez as the Mets and Marlins play the second of 4. It's another 7:10 first pitch on Odyssey Mets Radio. I know he was there last night and in the dugout getting himself acclimated, and heard Howie and Keith on the radio as I was driving back home late last night from football practice talking about how very interesting kid. And really seemed very comfortable and grounded in his surroundings. We'll see how he does tonight. Obviously, a different story when you get out there on the mound. Injury notes, Francisco Alvarez just continues to be banged up. It's a broken pinky on his left hand. Apparently, they're going to, in 2 to 3 days, see if he can resume his rehab
really
assignment.
Really trying to push this, huh?
Yeah, well, I mean, he's already got the torn UCL in the right thumb that's going to need surgery. Now a broken pinky on the left hand. So as Fleegs pointed out, you got the top digit. on the right hand for batting purposes and the bottom digit on the left hand. And obviously the broken pinky on his catching hand
as well.
Imagine
a 100-mile-an-hour fastball with a broken finger.
I don't know. I guess pinky, they'll pad it up. Not entirely sure, but he's apparently going to give it a go. And Frankie Montas, perhaps we've seen the last of him in a Mets uniform.
Yeah, I would say so.
Yeah, a UCL tear will likely require Tommy John surgery, which would take him out for 2026.
So what do you get, $34 million?
Yeah, right. He's going to opt into his 17. Oh. Now, I said to Fliegelman, I'd imagine they can recoup some in insurance. I don't know how much, but that one did not exactly play out so well. In Chicago, another Anthony Volpe error led to 4 unearned runs for the White Sox to tie the game in the bottom of the second, but the Yankees did take care of business the rest of the way.
There you go, drive deep to right. He got a lot of that one. That baby's gone. Home run, Trent Grisham. 9-4 Yankees, yet another home run. He joins the list of Bellinger, Chisholm, and now Grisham.
Dave Sims here on the fan.
You can sit on my face.
Yeah. Did you see Boomer's tweet?
No.
Because you went to this yesterday?
Yesterday. No, I did not see it. Was this last night, I assume?
Maybe this was after the error. I don't know what the time. I didn't see the timestamp, but someone wrote, I guess, in reply to Boomer, or maybe Boomer saw it, said, I hate that this organization lets this kid still play or something like that.
Yeah.
And Boomer wrote back, hey, he's not a terrorist.
Oh,
it's baseball.
That was earlier in the day. I did see that, yes.
Funny.
Yes.
It was a good reply.
Yeah, you know, he likes to spice things
up
on Twitter sometimes. Yanks continue to pound the long balls. They went on to beat the White Sox 10-4 in the opener there, road trip. That's 27 for Grisham. I haven't looked at the numbers, but that's another. He's hit a lot of lefties this year, lefty-lefty as well. So he's had a great year. 26 for Jazz Chisholm and 26 for Bellinger, the latter with another 3-hit game last night. And for his part, Volpe did go 2-for-3 with a double and a sack fly at the plate. Obviously, he's been going through it both offensively and defensively.
It's obviously frustrating because you, at the end of the day, you want to get results and help the team, and but you're not doing that. It's frustrating.
Here's his manager, Aaron Boone, really looking for small positives for and from his shortstop to turn things around right now.
You know, finish it off with a quality at bat for a sack fly for the tack-on run there. I like that, too. And, you know, after the error there in the second inning, I thought he made 3 kind of really stellar plays. So good to see him bounce back from that. We need to get him going.
Anything they can do to get him back on track.
Now, try not to lose the kid.
Yes. I want to go back to Jazz for a second here, play something he said last night. It's a 20-second clip, and it kind of, you know, ping-pongs around a little bit. And tell me what you think of his comments here.
We're never satisfied with second place or third place. You know, we just lost the World Series last year. That's second place, and we still wasn't satisfied. So I don't think we're going to be satisfied with coming second or third in the division. You know, that would be even more upsetting than losing the World Series. So right now it's just like we're going to go out there and win that, and then we're going to go and win the World Series.
A little all over the map now.
A little bit.
Right?
Coming in second place and making the playoffs is more disappointing than losing the World Series?
Yeah, I'm not really sure. It seemed
one
of those where you just didn't quite know how or where to land the plane, but kind of talking in circles a little bit there.
Talk.
You know, listen, appreciate the attitude.
World Series or bust.
Yes,
let's
make sure that we're, you know, locked in on what we're looking to do here. Tonight, you got Carlos Rodon and Yoenis Gomez, 7 p.m. coverage on WFAN, as well as the free Odyssey app. College football-wise here on
you got
the
some
fan
Carlin?
Last night. I don't. This hour, well, you know, we can pull it up in the folder
pull
here.
Up a Carlin.
Well, you know, it's not they exactly won. The most.
No, but it was on the fan. You know, Willie's telling me he's watching football last night.
Oh,
he was all into
great.
It.
Great.
So, give me a Carlin.
Hey, Jer.
Yeah.
Here's the local college folder, and it's
come on, really?
It's empty.
We have no clips for a game that was on our air.
If we do, I guess they're hiding elsewhere.
Okay.
So I'll go back on the logger and get some Rutgers for you as they held off Ohio in their season opener 34-31, escaping at home as a 15.5-point favorite. But
and
a
they
win
won.
Is a
the
win.
The one bet that I saw, and you can't bet Rutgers, obviously, in New Jersey for people that do bet college football, but I saw one specific person. I don't know who he was, but he had a lot of followers, and it came up on the For You part of Twitter for me. His best bet, and it was... Again, you got to see the ticket, but he said his best bet was Rutgers over 30.5 points.
Okay.
And when I saw the score at halftime, I'm like, dude, that guy nailed it. They're going to score 60.
Nope.
All right, well,
but
30,
they won.
34-31. They won the game.
The bet won, and they won the game.
The bet won, they won, all was
all
good.
All good, yes. So. Apparently, they're going to score a lot more points this year. The defense, a work in progress.
We shall see.
And we'll see when they actually face good Big Ten teams.
Well, that will help too, yeah.
Yeah.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club delivers premium razors without premium prices. Get close, comfortable six-blade shaves, swift rinse and four blades for thicker hair, and translucent shave butter for precision. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun. Use promo code HOMERUN for 20% off.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar Free. First round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Meet Natural Cycles, the only FDA-cleared and CE-marked birth control app that's 100% natural, hormone-free, and side-effect-free. Here's how it works. The app analyzes daily changes in your body temperature to find your fertile window so you can plan or prevent pregnancy naturally. Natural Cycles is a clinically proven, non-hormonal birth control option that's 93% effective with typical use and 98% effective with perfect use. No synthetic hormones, just science. And if you're ready to start family planning, switching from preventing to planning a pregnancy is as easy as tapping a button. Plus, the Natural Cycles app makes tracking fertility easy. You can measure your temperature trends using an Oura Ring, Apple Watch, or our Bluetooth thermometer, which is free when you sign up for an annual subscription. Join over 4 million registered users who are taking control of their fertility naturally. Save 15% when you sign up with code RADIO15 at naturalcycles.com. That's Radio 15 for 15% off today.
Exactly. It's the Boomer and Geo podcast from WFAN.
All right, nice to have you with us. Final summer Friday, Labor Day weekend. Willie and Jerry in for Boomer and Geo, coming to you live from the Built Ford Tough studio. It's obviously not a jet or giant topic, but the Parsons trade is probably the biggest sports topic in the country right now. So we've kind of rolled with it. We will get to the baseball at some point. Also, Jeff Schwartz is going to join us at 9 o'clock.
Yes.
Former Giant offensive lineman. Yep. So we'll talk more
doing
NFL with him.
Video.
We're going to get Willie's picks coming up at 8 o'clock as well, which you're not prepared for, but that's okay. You can figure that out. Before we get into where you were yesterday,
yes,
I will take one. Mark in South River. Good morning, Mark. How are you?
Mark, well, I appreciate it.
Mark, do me a favor. Start over because we didn't hear you at first. What did you say?
I'm sorry.
That's okay.
I said thanks for taking the call. I appreciate it. On my way to work.
Sure.
But listen, lifelong 62-year-old Cowboy fan.
Mm.
Now, I got a 3 hours worth of stuff. I'm going to try to get out in a minute. First of all, Jerry Jones, he's done it again. He always tries to be the smartest guy in the room. But just because he's got the cash, he's not the smartest guy in the room. But here's my other point. Micah was becoming a diva. And I don't know if they're divas before they come to the Cowboys. Diggs, Lamb, I love them. But something happens. And like I spoke to you guys early in the week, we cannot afford to pay this guy $47 million a year. We can't do it. We're paying Diggs, Lamb, and Dak. That's why our team's not good. It's just a mess. But you know what? I'll take the picks, and I'll take Kenny Clark. We do stink on the run. And Micah, I hate to say it, in big games, he don't show up.
Not at all.
He hasn't shown up.
You know, he's become, and I use the example here in New York where people crush Aaron Judge for not coming through in the postseason. I ran through, I went and got them, so I had the numbers. These are not opinions. This is not an opinion. These are facts. Right? And again, I know he's only 26, and his best years very well are ahead of him. I will not dispute that.
but you also can't dispute the facts and the numbers of doing absolutely nothing in all of these playoff games. And when I say absolutely nothing, I don't mean, I'm not being extreme. I'm not making that up. Like, nothing. The game against the Packers, no sacks, no tackles for a loss. The game in San Francisco, he played every defensive snap, no sacks, no tackles for a loss. One quarterback pressure. 2021 against the Niners, zero sacks, zero quarterback pressures. Those aren't opinions. Those are facts from what he's done in the postseason. I'm not saying I don't love the kid. I did. I like watching him. But when you want to talk about big games like Mark just talked about, there's a lot of big games that come to mind where he was invisible.
Yeah. To me, the one that jumps off the page, the one that you just read, is the Packers game.
Yeah.
When they needed a play, especially when the offense was struggling, they needed something and he gave them nothing.
Now, you said something to me before we came back that a lot of people say, so you're not alone on this, but I want to just dispel it just a little bit.
Okay.
And you said essentially, Jerry will never get the benefit of the doubt because he doesn't build winner. What exactly did you say?
Yeah, I said people would feel better about this deal if people felt like Jerry built better teams. Okay. Like if he had a track record of building a team that could sustain a trade like this.
And I understand that sentiment. But I also will point to numerous teams that he had his handprint on and they didn't win in the playoffs. Okay. And I'm just not going to throw that on the owner. You know, the same way, while we kill Judge, I am not going to kill Brian Cashman for Aaron Judge not hitting in October. As much as I love Aaron Judge, you know, that's what you're getting paid to do. I got to put some of the blame on the players at some point. So if I look at, just quickly, I pulled this up so I could do this. You know, they were 13-3 in 2007 with arguably the best team in the NFL. And what happened? Well, the Giants went in there.
Rolled them.
They trolled them, they beat them, and the Giants turned out to be the team to beat, not the Cowboys. Yep. Am I blaming that on Jerry Jones? Because what I remember was Jerry Jones put his ego aside, knew he needed to build a team, and got someone by the name of Bill Parcells to completely revamp that organization.
And it was tough because he fumbled with Jimmy Johnson. That's when Jimmy had to get the hell out
of it. For sure.
Yeah.
But to me, as a fan, made up for it by literally going and getting Parcells. Why Parcells left after the Romo fumble, I don't know. I don't know if it just took too much out of him. But he left them in really good shape with a franchise quarterback. They should have won that year. They don't. A couple of years later, they go 11-5. They lose in the divisional round of the playoffs again. You move forward, they go 12-4 in 2014. They lose again. In 2016, they go 13-3. Lose again in the playoffs. In 2018, they're 10-6. They lose in the divisional round.
That's Dak's rookie year, right?
Yeah, yep. In comes Mike McCarthy. 12 wins. What do they do in the playoffs? Nothing. Yeah. I can't blame him for postseason fail. How were they not prepared for the Packers? And instead, not only lose at home, where they had a big winning streak at home,
yeah,
get their doors blown off.
Yeah, they were undefeated at home that year.
That's the owner's fault? There's a lot you can blame him
and
for.
And the Eagles handed them the division.
You can blame him for a lot. I can't sit here and say he doesn't build good teams. Championship teams, clearly not. I'm putting that on the players and the coaches.
But I also think at some point you also got to realize that there's some deals that should have happened a lot sooner, right? Like, I think Dak should have played a lot sooner. This deal with Parsons should have happened a lot sooner. Diggs coming off a Pro Bowl year, I don't think he was warranted all the money they gave him, but they paid him anyway. So
there you're damned if you do, damned if you don't.
Right. That's ultimately my point. But I also think Cowboy fans at some point are just so fatigued and tired.
I get it. I can't argue that point.
And when you talk about a team that's already on thin ice and you trade one of your best players on defense, they're looking like, all right, where do we go now?
I think a lot of this is true. I think you can be pissed off if you're a Cowboy fan. I think you can be thrilled if you're an NFC East fan. I think you can think Jerry Jones is a moron. I think you can think Jerry Jones knows what he's doing. I think all of these things apply. I think you can say Micah deserves the money. I will sit here and tell you I would not have paid him $47 million a year. I think it all makes sense. I can sit there and tell you he's a great player at times. Big games, invisible.
Yeah.
It's all true.
Well, it's also as we're sitting here watching the highlights, a lot of his sacks are going against teams who aren't making the playoffs. You know what I mean?
I'll let the former NFL guy say that.
Well, I'm serious. He's not. There's not highlights of him dominating Trent Williams, right? There's not highlights of him, you know, going against some premier tackles, going to work. It's the guys that are underneath him that he's beating up. So, I mean, if we keep it 100.
I'm trying to.
And I've seen him in a run game, get double teamed, can't find him. You know? Mm-hmm. So I've seen, you talk about production, when you put on, when you turn on T.J. Watt's tape, when you put on Myles Garrett tape, they're beating double teams. I mean, they're beating chip help. They're impacting the game, even though offensive lines and offenses are sliding help to kind of neutralize those guys. They're still impactful. That's not Micah's game right now. When you get him one-on-one, you can't stop him.
Agreed. You don't get him one-on-one much, though, anymore.
Not at all. And so even at one point, they've tried to move him up and down the line or kind of like let him be a little rogue. It's still not as impactful as some of the elite guys like a T.J. Watt or Myles Garrett.
All right, real quick. I know we've got to go, but I'm going to let Will crow for a second. Will in Passaic, what's up, man? Good morning.
Hey, what's going on, guys? Good morning. Wanted to say I'm a happy, lifelong Giants fan, and this is one of the best news I've heard in a long time. Micah Parsons, we don't have to worry about him wreaking havoc on our offensive line this year. That is a blessing. That is Christmas come early. I'm thankful. I'm happy he's out of the division, but we might have to see him soon in Green Bay. I mean, I agree with a lot of things you guys said, but at the end of the day, he's an offensive coordinator's nightmare. No. I mean, you have to account for him at all times. He will destroy a game. And with a player like that, I'm just glad he's out of my division. And, kudos to Jerry Jones to keep doing. Jerry Jones, keep doing what you're doing. Next is Dak Prescott. Dak Prescott, to be honest with you, if you're going to give anybody the money, I would have given it to Micah. I mean, not to Dak. I mean, Jerry Jones is just trying to get Archie Manning.
I think they always pay the quarterback, and I would not have given him $60 million a year, but I don't believe anybody should make that.
Who else they were going to get?
Exactly.
The
quarterback always gets the money. That's kind of the way it goes.
It was a great point. Like, Dak played it well. Like, Dak was like, I'm going to do a sit. Who else you got? You got to pay me.
I guess you could have thrown Cooper rushing. Take a break.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Dollar Shave Club is the real grooming MVP. Their six-blade razor gives you the closest, most comfortable shave. The four-blade features swift rinse tech for longer, thicker hair. And the handle has a no-slip 360-degree diamond pattern grip for comfort and control. Shave butter works great with their razors. It's translucent for precision and delivers a long-lasting glide that hydrates the skin. Visit dollarshaveclub.com/homerun and use code HOMERUN for 20% off your order of $20 or more. Plus free shipping. Whatever you shave, welcome to the club.
True North Convenience Stores and Red Bull are an elite matchup. True North offers returning players Red Bull Original and Sugar-Free. First-round picks like Watermelon, Wild Berries, and the newest rookie, Red Bull Zero. Right now, grab three of your favorite 8-ounce can flavors for $6.50 and save 10 cents off a gallon with the True Rewards mobile app. Available in your favorite app store. Rush into True North to score this deal before the clock runs out. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
Hi, this is Javon, your Blinds.com design consultant.
Oh, wow, a real person.
Yep, I'm here to help with everything from selecting the perfect window treatments to...
Well, I've got a complicated project.
No problem. We make the complex simple. I can even help schedule a professional measure and install.
I didn't realize you did that.
We can also send you samples fast and free.
Wow, I always thought I needed a designer to come to my home, but scheduling's always a nightmare.
Not with Blinds.com. We're on your schedule, and there's no haggling, pressure, or hidden fees either.
Hmm.
I just might have to do more.
Whatever you need. How about you tell me what you had in mind?
Okay, then. So the first room we're looking at is for guests coming over, and I'm thinking of something.
From free expert design help to our 100% satisfaction guarantee, everything we do is made to fit your life and your windows. Because at Blinds.com, the only thing we treat better than windows is you. Shop Blinds.com Labor Day Mega Sale, happening now. Save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free measure. Rules and restrictions may apply.